Thank you, gentlemen. What a blessing. We have some talented people in this church, but we also have some anointed people in this church when it comes to music. And there's a lot of churches that just can't say that. But we can, praise God. So thank you very much. John and Christine just asked me to speak, and I'm just going to speak for a few minutes. I won't keep you long. What I'm going to do is I'm going to run a parallel path with what Pastor's been talking about for quite a few weeks. But it's just a different angle that I want you to think about and consider, because it's important for us in our growth. So if you have a Bible, let's see where we want to go first. Let's go to 1 John, the first chapter, and James, the fifth chapter. Now, I'm going to challenge you, because I'm going to be bouncing in a lot of scripture. So 1 John, the first chapter, and James, the first chapter. When you hear people talk about the word confession, most of the time it's from a salvation standpoint, where somebody is confessing their sins for salvation or something to that effect. But the Bible has a lot to say about confession, not just from that context, but from a positive context. And what I want to try to do is just take a few points, kind of put them in a bundle, and then put them out there for you. And what I want to do is challenge you by the end of the time that we have. I want to be able to challenge you, so hopefully you can take something away from here and put it in your spiritual portfolio, if you will, and use it to your advantage. That's the idea, okay? All right, so run over to 1 John. I just want to give you some background information, stuff that you probably already know. And if you're saved, I know you know. So 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Now, that's talking about confession. And you could say it from this standpoint, that's kind of the negative side, because you're bringing up things that are negative in your life in relation to that, okay? All right, now just flip back a few pages to James chapter 5. And look at verse 15. It says, "And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed any sins, they shall be forgiven him." Verse 16, "Confess your faults," all right, "confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed." Another type of confession, confessing your faults to your brothers in Christ, okay? All right. Now, let's kind of along in that same vein, let's flip over to Romans, the 10th chapter, the 10th chapter of Romans. Now, everybody's familiar with this, I'm sure. 10th chapter of Romans, verse 9 says, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath saved him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Verse 10, "For with the heart," or the spirit, because that's in the New Testament, heart and spirit are an interchangeable word, "for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Now, what I want you to see here, there's two things going on. There's believing and there's confessing. When we got saved, that's exactly what we did. Somebody, somewhere, proclaimed the gospel. We heard the gospel. We received the gospel. We believed the gospel. And then as a result, we confessed the gospel as far as our salvation goes. Okay? That's what we did. All right, now, hold your finger right there. Go over to the 11th chapter of Mark. I'm not used to holding a microphone, so y'all forgive me. Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he says, let's just start in verse 22. This is a story where they are on the road and Jesus curses the fig tree and it dries up from the root. Verse 22 says, "And Jesus answering unto them said, have faith in God, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Now, hold your finger there and go back to Romans 10. Now, it says there that with the heart man believes, and with the mouth he confesses. Well, if you go over to Mark 11, Jesus is saying exactly the same thing. He says, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe. And then the next thing he says, those things that he says, which is a confession. So there's a reason why Jesus is, and the scriptures are trying to teach us about believing and confessing. And I don't want to get away from this, because if I do, I'll get on a rabbit trail and I won't come back. So if you really believe a thing with your heart, whether it's positive or negative, and you say it with your mouth, you really are having what you say, because everything that you take in, whether it's through here or through here, if you take it in enough, it's going to come back out. You know, the scripture says, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. And let's face it, folks, where we are right now today, look at what we're having to take in on a day-to-day basis. We are taking in a lot of stuff that is, let's just face it, it's just not good for us. And with the medical situation, the way that it is, the pandemic, whatever name you want to put on it, we've been bombarded with information, bombarded. Not just normal, it is over the top what we've been hearing from every avenue of media you can think of. Now, I'm going to throw a wrench into this, but it's just to get you to think. In the 1930s, the late 1930s, this same thing was going on, but it wasn't with a pandemic. It was just with bombarding people with information. And it was done by a party called the Nazi Party. And it was propaganda by the loads. And it was so much for so long that people began to believe that. And as a result, they took that in. And the next thing you know, it's coming back out. And people started doing things that they probably never imagined that they would do and or say. All right? And now we're getting all this same stuff coming in. And you would be surprised at how many people are letting things come back out of them that they've taken in because of the abundance of it. And they're doing things and saying things that they probably never thought they would ever do. And I'm not talking in a good context, I'm talking in a bad one. So we, as the church, have got to do something about that, for lack of a better term. Okay? Number one, we need to change what's coming in. Okay, we've got to change what's coming in. Let me get back over here, because I'll just keep right on talking. Huh? I'm just going to read a couple statements, okay? What you believe is a direct correlation of what is being taken in by your physical senses, which I just said a while ago. Your five physical senses take in information all the time. And as a result of that, that's what comes back out of us, okay? All more the important for us to be reading the Word, okay? But mostly from what I'm talking about, really everything we're getting right now is basically coming through our ears and through our eyes. Now, whether you realize this or not, when you speak, you hear with your ear, but you don't hear with this ear. You hear with your inner ear. And the reason I know that is, if you've ever had yourself recorded and it's played back and you listen to it, it doesn't sound like what you're accustomed to hearing. So that tells you that you hear with your inner ear, but everybody hears you with their outer ear. But that doesn't mean it's still not going back into your outer ear, because it's doing this. Right? So there's two forms of hearing going on there. All right? Two forms of hearing. So you're getting double. Why do you think that the scripture says faith comes by hearing? That's so important. That's why you shouldn't, not that it's not okay or not that it's not good. That's why you should read your Bible aloud. When you do your daily Bible reading, you don't need to read silently. You need to read aloud because the Scripture says that's how the faith comes. So you need to read it aloud. That way it gets down on the inside of you. And at the same time, it's starting to reprogram this bad boy up here. And we definitely need reprogramming up here. Okay? Let's see, what else do I have here? Okay, yeah, let me read this. And then I'm going to borrow something from Pastor after that. Another question you need to ask yourself is, who are you listening to? Now, some stuff you don't have a choice in the matter, but a lot of things you do, okay? I.e., you are being instructed, okay? Now, let me read this to you. I borrowed this from another preacher, so I don't want no credit going here. The instruction that you listen to determines the things that you believe, which determines the decisions you make, which determines the life that you live. I thought that was, yeah, that's right on for right now, okay? So if you want to change the life that you live, you may need to change who or what you are listening to, which changes or causes the things you believe to change. Okay, so if nothing else, and really it's paramount, this is what you need to be listening to and being instructed by. And let me tell you, I'm a firm believer in the fact that when you read this, you need to read it aloud. Because like I said, faith comes by hearing, right? All right. So let me get back over here to where I was. Our pastor has been teaching us a lot about identification in the last few weeks. And let me tell you, by and large, the body of Christ is not taught that. We are blessed to be in this place to receive the teaching that we've been receiving. I've had a little conversation with Pastor. I mean, me and my wife and my son and daughter-in-law, we've been going here right around 2 years. And we're just starting to know the pastor and his wife. And some of you folks, I really don't know at all. I know you, but I don't know you. You follow me? But one of the first things I picked up on when I came here, the pastor quoted Romans 12, 1 and 2 one Sunday. And he used that, I don't know, 3 or 4 Sundays in a row. Well, I knew I was in the right place. Because that's my favorite scriptures right there, because it talks about renewing your mind to the word and transforming yourself. So I thought, if this guy is talking about this, I know I'm going to get something here. And so I've been here ever since. The church, however, unfortunately, and for those of you that's been in different type denominations, and I've spent time in quite a few, the normal mainline ones, and then the normal mainline ones that had the Holy Ghost come in, and then Pentecostal churches of various types or whatever. But there's a lot of preaching and teaching from the body of Christ as a whole about what you can and you cannot do. Don't do this, don't do that, don't do, you know. But I'd be willing to bet all y'all, you already know what not to do, right? We need to know what to do. Okay, and that's what Pastor's doing. He's giving us stuff that allows us to know what to do. And if you're reading Scripture, like he's been in Ephesians, that's one of the best places in the world to read. And read it in the first person. Read it out loud in the first person to yourself, because Paul is speaking to the church, which is us. So anywhere it's a we, it can just very well as easily be an I, because the we and the I are the same person. So speak that to yourself. And the reason being is, God is interested on what goes on the outside in the world for us, and he wants us to be able to be a blessing to other people. He wants us to be able to go out and witness to folks. He wants to be able to, for us to talk to that person in Walmart, you know, standing in line that's got an issue. But he's really more interested in what's going on the inside of us. Because whatever's going on the inside is what is going to come out and get on the outside. And the church, they don't really know that. They know about salvation and what Jesus has done for us, but you start getting beyond that, it's always questionable. And what that does is that takes the power and the blood of Christ and it lessens it. And we're not going to do that. We're going to lift it. That's what we're here for. We're here to lift it. We're here to be the example. We want to be able to take what Jesus did, who he said he was, what he said he could do, and the fact that we're born again and that same spirit lives on the inside of us and do the same things that he did because he's our example. And times we see things that we might consider extraordinary or supernatural or whichever name you want to put on it. And for years and years and years, those things have happened outside of this country. And let's face it, we are so blessed in things that we don't allow God to have first place in our life, where people outside this country, all they have is him. And so you see more of the miraculous there, more of the supernatural, more things that would raise our eyebrow, if you will. But the fact remains is there's no reason why that's not shouldn't occur here. And some of that is starting to occur here in little pockets here, there, and what have you. But that needs to be the norm, not the, oh, wow. The oh, wow needs to be norm for us. Let me give you an example of something when it comes to this thing that Pastor has been talking to us about and where I want to get. So let's go to Ephesians right quick. First chapter of Ephesians. And this is something he has already read, so. But I just want to take it and run with it just a second, and then we'll be done. First chapter, verse 7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. So the question is, from what and whom have you been redeemed? Okay? Because we have redemption. Okay? So from what? So I'm going to give you three examples of that. All right, if you just flip over to Colossians, to the first chapter, which is just a couple books over, that'd be page 219. Okay. Verse 13 of the first chapter says, who has delivered us from the power of darkness or the authority of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. That's part of our redemption. We've been delivered from darkness and translated. We've been taken out of this kingdom and we've been put into this kingdom. All right? All right, another example. Let's go back to Romans. The sixth chapter of Romans. All right, verse 14 says, for sin shall not have dominion over you. Why? Because in whom we have our redemption. For you are not under the law, but under grace. All right, flip over just a couple chapters to the 8th chapter. Verse 11 says, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, and if he does, he is your Lord and Savior, right? And boy, you could take off and go in a lot of places with that scripture right there. Because if the spirit dwells in you, then, comma, fill in the blank when it comes to the things of God. But it says, if the spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Jesus from the dead shall also quicken or make alive your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwells in you. So that kind of tells me that there is not just a spiritual aspect going on, but there's also a physical aspect on, because it plainly says that he's going to make your bodies quicken your bodies. or make alive your bodies. Because let's face it, folks, we can't do anything without the earth suit. We got to have this to be able to live and move and do the things that we do here. I mean, the scripture plainly teaches you, if you're not born of water or born of a woman, you can't have any kind of authority in the earth. You've got to have this suit right here. That's why the enemy, all through the scriptures here, are going into something that lives on the earth, because they can't really do anything without that. Okay? That's why God has sent himself here in the form of a man, because he had to be able to do that, to be able to work into the earth. Because somebody else had gotten the deeds to the earth, or the lease to the earth, based on what Adam did. So you've got to be able to do something with this in order to be able to do something with this. So it is imperative that you take care of yourself, okay? All right, now, I've kind of gone around and around. Let's go to Hebrews, the fourth chapter. Hebrews, the fourth chapter. I was talking earlier about confessing. Hebrews, the fourth chapter, the 14th verse says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession," or confession. So, what confession? Faith in the Lord Jesus. Faith in God our Father. And faith in this word right here. That's things that we need to be confessing. Jesus in the Gospels was constantly confessing who he was. What he was, and what his mission was. I'm just going to give you three examples of that, okay? Because, and I think I said it earlier, he is our example. Yeah, he was the Son of God, but he was set here as an example for us for what we are to do as a result of what he did. So go to the book of John. Let's see, the 16th chapter of John. 16th chapter of John. Okay. Verse 28 says, this is Christ speaking. He said, "I came forth from the Father and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father." That's four things that's going on in that scripture right there that Jesus says that he's doing. He said he came from the Father. He's coming to the world. He's going to leave the world and go back to the Father. All right, just back up to, back up a couple of chapters to the 14th chapter. Just giving you a couple of examples of Jesus and how he speaks about himself and what he does. 14th chapter, verse 9, Jesus said, "Have I been so long with you, and yet you not know me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. How sayest you then, show us the Father?" Jesus said, "Hey, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father God." Now, that's a bold statement from a guy walking around on this planet. But then again, look at what he does. Nature has no hold over him. He can speak to anything that he desires and it obeys him. Because why? Yes, he's the Son of God, but here's the thing. He knows who he is. He knows what he can do. And he knows what his mission is. So we need to be asking ourselves the same question. Do you know who you are? Do you know what you can do, and do you know what your mission is? Okay? A lot of people know parts of that, but we need to know all three facets of that. And the only way to do that is to get into the scriptures and find out, and there's roughly, I'm going to say, 140, give or take, a few scriptures that talk about who we are in Christ, in whom we have our redemption, and things of that nature. And most of them are in the epistles. So what we need to do is we need to get into our Bible, and I can't speak for other translations. I can only speak for the King James. And go in and find those scriptures where it says, like we did earlier, where it talks about in whom we have redemption. You need to mark that. Who you are in Christ, boy, you can go to Ephesians. That's the In Christ book. Every place you find something about being in Christ, you need to highlight that in your Bible. And then the next thing is we need to pick out some of those scriptures. And that's what we need to start confessing about ourselves. And the reason we need to do that is because we need to build faith in those words and get those words down in our spirit. Why? Because when crisis comes, that's not when you need to go and start confessing those scriptures and trying to get them down in there. They need to be down in there before that happens. So when it does happen, you can just step right out there and look at that thing and say, not today. Because I know who I am, and the word says, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, for whatever the situation is. If you can't take that word and get it down on the inside of you where it becomes alive to you, and then be able to take that and speak to that situation, then we will be defeated. The situation will overtake us. You know the parable that Jesus talks about, the sower sowing the word, and the cares of the world come in and choke the word out? Well, when it chokes the word out, you can't use it. We don't want the word being choked out of our spirit. We want our spirit to be full of the word. Full of the word, bearing fruit because of the word that's on the inside of us. So when we speak those things, we're not afraid. We're not in fear. Yeah, you might have to live with a situation, but that don't mean that you're going to let it overtake you. You're going to turn right around and you're going to combat that thing with the word. Now, I've never been given a diagnosis that I would consider dire or would put me in a crisis mode, but a lot of people have. So I can't stand here and tell you what I would do if the doctor looked at me and said, you've got stage 4 cancer. I've never been put into that situation. But the fact is, I've got to get scriptures on the inside of me that talk about healing and what the blood has done for me with regards to healing, what the stripes of Jesus has done for me in regards of healing. So if that smack in the face comes, once I step back and take a breath, then I can take what's on the inside of me and start telling that what the word says. Now, that don't mean that you don't have to go through chemo. That don't mean you don't have to do radiation. I'm not telling you that. What I'm telling you is what the word says. Because there may be truth to the fact that there's cancer in your body, but the reality is Jesus received stripes for that cancer. So we have to align ourselves with the word. Because if you don't, even if the medical doctors are doing well for you, what is going on up here? This is our biggest issue is up here when we hear those things. So if we don't get those things down in our spirit and start renewing this up here when we get smacked in the face, oh, yeah, you're going to do this when you get hit, but you're going to be able to turn right back around and do this. Now, just from the comments I've heard in passing during the weeks that John and Christine's daughter was in the hospital, some of the things that they said that she said, and she's laid up there, and she's gone through things for years and years and years and years, but her faith never faltered, never faltered. So you can't tell me that can't be done, because we've got proof in the physical that it can be done, that her faith didn't falter. She did not look at her circumstance. She looked to him, and she let what was on the inside of her come out. Do you not think it affected people in the hospital? I guarantee you it did. Because even in a bad situation, it's still not about us. It's always about him. Always about him. And I'd be willing to bet you, when we all get to sit down and Jesus says, okay, roll the tape, and we're going to watch about John and Christine's daughter, and she's up there in that hospital, we're going to get to see some things that's going to blow our mind, because this person over here was affected, and that person over there was affected, and that doctor over there had never heard anything like that, and he's been affected. And every time we hear that, somebody, an angel or whoever, is going to be standing over here, and they go, oh, that's another stone in the crown. Tink, another stone. Tink, another stone. And he's just going to keep putting those stones in that crown. Well, our attitude should be no different than hers. If I can tell you anything, please hear me when I say that. It's not about us. It's what's on the inside of us, and taking what's on the inside of us and getting it out here. Because either it's going to be doubt and unbelief, or it's going to be full of faith. One or the two. There's, you know, mediocrity kills, folks. Mediocrity kills. That's all I got, brother. That's all I got.